my people came in and said, sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now out there. The hottest thing out there. Sir, would you like to drive a garbage truck? Now, we're about, you know, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, it's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, you know, and I said, you know, I think that's okay. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit. And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they showed it to you. And then they said, sir, we have a vest. I said, well, should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good. So I said, all right, look, let me take it off. And then I actually said, I climbed into the truck, but here's the, so I said, how the hell do you get into this truck? It's way up high. It's a big one. This was a beauty. I said, you didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big. They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know who that is?
Jeez. If I was that guy, I'd be like changing. That would, I'd try to get a vanity plate that says Cary Grant in his prime. That's hysterical. That, I think that also explains why he kind of struggled to get that door open in the video that all the left is freaking out about. Gag me. I've got some really stupid stories. So we got a lot to touch on today because, I mean, we are. It's the garbage edition, the continued garbage edition of the show. And it's, you know, that's where we're at. And the we're at that point in the debate. And it's also All Hallows Eve. So yours truly didn't dress up because yours truly is waiting for November 6th, the day after. And then maybe I'll belatedly dress up. We'll see. So lots of stuff to hit, like I said. And happy, what is it, Thursday to you? Dana Lash here, top of this first hour. Channel 347 DirecTV. We're at Rumble if they decide not to freeze. I don't know, maybe I should like invest or something to make that not happen. But you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. X, we're over at X as well. All right, so I've never seen such a fast turnaround of something. That was pretty good. The big turnaround of the garbage narrative. You got to, so far, Donald Trump has worked two minimum wage jobs. Well, I don't know if garbage, are sanitation workers minimum wage?
I don't think so.
I don't think they are. Well, he's worked two blue collar jobs. We'll put it like that. He's worked two blue collar jobs right now. And Democrats are still nothing. Nothing from them. It was, I mean, they got a garbage truck for crying out loud. He's like, I got very capable people. I'm not saying this, someone else is. But it was pretty, you know, and then he, but the thing was, I didn't watch all of his remarks yesterday at his rally, but I did think it was funny that he kept wearing the vest, that he just stayed with the vest. Like he walked out on stage, still had that reflector vest on, because that was the first thing I saw before I saw that he rolled up in a garbage truck. There was a lot going on yesterday. And I thought that was hysterical because he still had that vest on. But he rolls up in the garbage truck. It was really high up. And I mean, if he's like 6'4", he's really tall, super tall. And 6'3", maybe 6'4". So if he was kind of struggling to get the door open, I mean, it's because it's really high up there. I would have to get on a trampoline in order to launch, yeet myself into this thing. But yeah, he had the garbage truck and he's up and I had the big flag and he pulled. That was actually kind of funny because I saw someone in the press saying there's a garbage truck that rolled up and it has the Trump campaign logo on the side. Hands to sky. They were there. And they, I guess they thought Trump was just going to pull up, you know, in a car and they're at the airport and he pulls up in the garbage truck and the press was like this garbage. And there was this video of this little garbage truck rolling up. It was funny. And the press was very, they didn't know what to make of it, which that amused me the most. I was chuckling a little bit. I'm always the most amused when the press is actually knocked off their game a little bit. So that was a very, very quick turnaround. So he goes to this Wisconsin rally. And he rolls up. The left was apoplectic. They were apoplectic. You know what? Maybe they could just roll out Kamala Harris talking about how she was raised middle class again. That always works, right? You know, it always works with the voters to just tell them that you're middle class instead of actually doing middle class stuff. That's my favorite thing about the limousine Marxists. They love telling you that they're middle class. As middle class. I was raised middle class. You know, yeah. And then they like go through their Rolodex of buzzwords that they think identifies the middle class. McDonald's. Yeah, McDonald's. Crocs. Like anything else that pops into their head, right? Mountain Dew. And they throw that out and they think that that's enough. That's enough. That voters will go, oh, she said McDonald's. She's like me. Guess I'll vote for her. Who cares about the economy? She said McDonald's. Didn't work. So the left is, they were apoplectic over this. I'm just looking over some stuff. I mean, CNN literally had to interrupt a panel. Did we, I don't know if we have, I didn't want to send everything in, and then I forgot to send some things in. CNN was livid over this. They had, they actually, I think it was Wolf Blitzer that was hosting, and they had to actually interrupt their, they had a panel, and they interrupted their own little goofy panel because the, they had to go to the garbage truck. I was dying. I was laughing so hard over that. It was actually very funny. So that was a quick, I don't think that they're, in the meantime, notice the media, there's one thing that they haven't done. Have you noticed this? They haven't gone to every single Democrat and said, do you condemn this remark? Do you condemn this? If Trump were to fart the wrong way, every single Republican, do you condemn this? Microphone, do you condemn it? Sir, do you condemn this remark? Do you condemn? Anytime he says anything, if it's not even him, if it's his kids, do you condemn this? Every Republican, they get a mic shoved in their face. With this, no, nothing. Not a single Republican was asked a single thing, or Democrat has been asked a single thing. It's fun. Listen to this. This is CNN. I think we have this. I just want to play a little bit of it. I don't want to play all of the, I'm not going to play all of the media reactions because you play one, it's the same for all of them. But it was funny because they're doing this live discussion and they had no idea Trump was rolling up in a garbage truck. And they're like, they just had no idea. It was hysterical. What?
Thank you.
I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do it. That's, what are you talking about? Oh, come on. We're not, come on. Come on. Yeah, and then I love what Tom Cotton tweeted. He had a picture of Donald Trump putting the, what is the tool that they use to put the fries in the fry thing? I asked a friend of mine this last night and who worked at McDonald's and she couldn't remember. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like.
The fry basket?
No, it wasn't. There was like a thing it was called. Anyway, it's the thing where it's like was made to put them in the McDonald's fries. It's like their proprietary. Yeah.
Like the fry shovel.
Something like that. We're going to call it fry shovel. There's a picture of Trump with the fry shovel putting the fries in the box, and then there's a picture of him behind the dump truck. And Tom Cotton tweets, the Biden-Harris economy is so bad that seniors have to work two jobs to make ends meet. That was actually funny.
I like that.
But what the left is trying to do, let me know if we have that CNN thing. Okay, go ahead, listen to this, and then I'm going to tell you how the left is trying so hard to turn this. Listen.
Interrupt you for a moment. Stand by for a moment. Trump is answering some questions from reporters.
Joe Biden to make that statement, it's really a disgrace.
In a garbage truck. They're like, we got to interrupt our panel to go to the garbage truck. Breaking news. I love how they're like, wait, can we roll with the, can we roll with the breaking news? Wait a minute. No, we got to wait for, we have to wait for the element. What is that called? It's not a stinger. What's that called, Juan? Is it a stinger if it's visual? Yeah, is it? Okay. We got to wait for the stinger. Okay, we got it. All right, now we can do the breaking news. Because it's not breaking news unless the breaking news stinger, like, animates. Oh, there it is. You got to have it. Don't get ahead of the stinger, Wolf. So he runs. He comes. I just think it's hysterical. And they're all, the panel, like, when they came back, the panel was just going. I was dying. I was dying laughing at this. Oh my gosh, absurdity to highlight absurdity. Now, this is how the left is trying to flip this. Remember how I was making fun of oh, what's his face? Lucas Kuntz. Yeah. Him. Steve just exhaled. Well, people are trying, and I said that was, you know, being at the range, it was his Dukakis moment. Well, people are trying to say this is Trump's Dukakis moment. And I'm like, wait a minute. I fired back at one of these, like, halfwits. I was like, are you telling me that blue-collar work is the Dukakis moment? Please explain to me how. How is highlighting blue-collar work a Dukakis moment? Yeah, exactly. They're trying so hard. Now, is this going to... I don't even care if this does anything at the polls. I just like that there was a lighthearted moment because it was funny as all get out. I don't care if you hate Trump or not. I don't care. Rolling up in a garbage truck was funny. It's funny. I laugh my head off because I did. I mean, you saw. Can I just one more time indulge me? You saw the truck roll up. You had no idea what was going on. And then there he is. I don't care if you like him or not. It was funny. And then but you know what they ended up doing? They ended up furthering, making Biden look silly with us. But everyone's trying to say, no, he's assuming voters hear garbage and think of Biden's gaffe. Yeah, absolutely. You know why? Because that's what Biden said, literally. One of the Nepo babies on the schmoo said that. That's really nice that they like took a microphone and a camera and put those barnyard animals to work. You know, the ones that were just like too long in the tooth to actually do any meaningful work there on the farmyard. So they, you know, they made a little talk show for them. It was so nice. So super nice how they did. I love animals. Love people. Now, in the meantime, Biden's not on babies. Harris is, I don't know. She's talking about, we're going to get into this whole thing and I'm gearing up for this. The left's insistence that women, you don't have to tell your husbands who you vote for. You haven't heard this. Kane, you haven't heard this?
I know it's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing?
Julia Roberts did a video about it. Kamala Harris mentioned it the other day, yesterday. And now it is, now they're saying that women, you don't have to, you can go ahead and vote Democrat. You don't have to let your husbands know who you vote for. So they assume that if you're not going to vote, if you're considering not voting for Harris, you're stupid and you're an abused woman and that you're too unempowered to make your own decisions because you're a stupid bimbo. That's what they're saying. The left believes that you are just TNA and abortions and that you need to be told how to vote. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. We're going to talk about all of this and more because this actually makes me angry. And it's one of the reasons why I left the left, because Democrats are literally the most sexist people I've ever met in my life. I say this as someone who up until I was 19 years old was a Democrat, raised by Democrats. I literally only knew Democrats until I went to college. I didn't meet my first Republican, hands to sky, until I was a college freshman. And then I realized, dang, I got some questions about how I was raised. No offense, Mom. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. They also have Patriot Mobile One. One phone, one carrier, multiple networks. You can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities and manage both personal and business lines on a single device. And you have access to all major networks. You're also not funding the left. You have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it super easy to switch. And you're also going to save money. And you're not spending everything that you have on super expensive phone service. And then they turn around and give all of that money to one of their political pet groups that pushes and advocates for DEI or gun control, etc. With Patriot Mobile, you can get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana plus free activation. Don't be fooled by others pretending to share your values or have the similar or same coverage. Switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972 Patriot for your free month of service today.
The left keeps preaching for equality if Kamala's elected, but is this a dystopian America? The idea that we're all supposed to end up in the exact same place, even after working much harder than they are, that's like a dystopian Kurt Vonnegut novel.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Hey, hey, hey. All right, so first up, this is kind of sad. A beloved pet squirrel has been seized by New York State after it spent 7 years in a home and the owner says they're going to euthanize it. New York State is a jack wagon. According to an Instagram post, Peanut the squirrel was rescued after his mother was struck and killed by a car. And I've got a whole story about this. He was taken from his Elmira, New York home by officials. It was the Department of Environmental Conservation. They served a warrant to Peanut's guardians because they got complaints from some jack wagon probably complained about somebody having a squirrel. They said unlawfully possessed animals. And the account said you took one of the most amazing animals away because of your selfishness. I mean, it had its own little cowboy hat, for crying out loud. Mark Longo owns it. He says he's in shock and belief. And they said apparently they're going to euthanize it. That's insane. And they said because of rabies, they said they had to seize the animals because there was like apparently rabies nearby or something like that. I think that's kind of a jerk move. That's a jerk move. Let the dude have a squirrel. It has a cowboy hat. I would have hit it and totally pulled like a chimp crazy thing. No, 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 it's gone. It just passed away. We don't know. I would have totally lied to the state about that, and I would have not felt bad about it. Let's see. This is kind of weird that this is a headline. Lead poisoning costs the world's children 765 million IQ points a year. That's what they're saying. Like, low-level lead poisoning. Apparently, it's still pervasive. They published this in the New England Journal of Medicine. Blah, blah, blah. Are people still, like, getting exposed to lead at that level for real? Okay. Pentagon chief reveals a photo of a UFO mothership. I don't know if I believe this, but I don't know if it's real, but I'm going to believe it anyway because I want to. He says it's a huge mini city floating in the sky, an ex-Pentagon official. And he had photos of it. I don't know. Did the photos look believable? Meh, I don't know. I still want to believe it anyway. But when the government tells me that it's real, then I don't want to believe. You know, that's the problem. I'm really stuck here. I'm stuck. Subway is being sued for shorting customers on meat. They shorted them on the meats. They did not put enough steak in their steak and cheese sandwiches. And now they're getting sued. Of course. Stick with us. We got more in store. Burnagun is a new entrant to the show. They're new sponsors to the show. It's a non-firearm firearm. And where guns are banned, this is an excellent option to have. The Burnagun, if you're unfamiliar with it, can stop threats from up to 50 feet away using chemical irritant projectiles. It provides a powerful deterrent. And the most popular model is the Byrna SD model. And the Byrna SD holds 5 rounds. You can choose number of different colors, projectiles, even accessories. You can get a different model if you'd like to, but the Byrna SD is super popular. Gun-free zones, it doesn't care about those. Doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. It's legal in all 50 states. No background check, no permit. Ship right to your door so anybody can access it. And it's a good option when you're barred from carrying. And, you know, obviously you've seen the increase in crime that the FBI tried to hide. Nobody wants to be a statistic. So make sure that you have many options for self-defense, please. And you can do that at Byrna Gun. Visit and learn more at Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
I gotta let my wolf go, dude. It's the werewolf. We can't put him on the porch anymore because he scares the hell out of people. He scares people too much, so now he's just in the studio. We never actually named him. I just realized this. This dude has been in the studio for I don't know how long, and we haven't actually named him. Throw me a monitor, please. We haven't actually named him. So, yeah. And then we got this guy this year who's new. He wasn't here last year, this guy. And then we got the pumpkin we've had before. So, wait, I'm going to get it. Okay, now. There he is. Welcome back. I had to show you guys. I had to show off the stuff that we had in the studio. I had to. Welcome back. It's good to be with you. And we're at the bottom of the 31st hour. Had a little Danny Elfman, the Citizens of Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas. I feel like that song just is so the theme of where we are all mentally and emotionally right now going towards November 5th. Am I right? Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like, you know, these kids for trick-or-treating tonight, you know what? Like, you know, move over, kids. We need to also like trick or treat. Like the adults need a break. This has been tough times. We need a break. Honestly. All right. So one of the things, I got a couple things to hit this segment. First off, let me get down in here. There, some of these final polls that are coming out show Trump has a bit of an edge in these swing states. Now, Kamala Harris is underperforming where Biden was at this exact same time in 2020. And she's even underperforming Hillary Clinton, at least not. Now, that's not a blanket statement. In some of the states, and I think I got into this a little bit earlier this week, she's underperforming Hillary Clinton at this exact time in a couple of states, not all. So all of this stuff, honestly, it is really, I think it's close. I don't think that there's, I will be shocked if there is, you know, if they, all of the, you know, projections about a red wave actually come to pass. But, you know, I just don't think that that's something that's going to, I just don't think that that's something that's going to, it's not going to be a huge, I don't think it's going to be a huge gap either way that it goes. The final polls are giving Trump an edge. And there's still a lot that's too close to call. CNN seems to think that Trump has, and I do think you'd much rather beat Trump than Kamala Harris right now, for sure. There are some who say it's not as close as you think. Some are predicting a missing hidden voter surge. I never believe into that stuff. I never believe that stuff because we were told that in 22. We were told it in 20. We were told it in 2018. We were even told it in 2016. And I got to be honest with you, while there was an increase in turnout for Republican voters, as I noted on that election night, there was still a decreased a depressed turnout. I actually thought that the turnout was going to be higher than it was in 2016. I mean, Trump won and there was an increase in certain parts of the country in turnout, but it wasn't enough to say like, oh my gosh, Republicans really like turned out. And Republicans are our own worst enemy. Really, they are the right's own worst enemy. So there's a Quinnipiac poll, usually kind of leans Democrat. Trump has got a lot of momentum in Pennsylvania. Harris has a couple of solid leads in a couple of different battleground states, but it's like barely, it's within the margin of error. And he's in Wisconsin and Michigan. It's a fight. Pennsylvania, I think he may end up taking Pennsylvania. In the average, I think with 538 has Harris under 1.5. And in the RCP average, Trump's a half a point ahead. See, so all of this can be so subjective, and it all depends on what polls are included, and every poll, even the garbage ones, are included. That's why these are just should just be mere kind of suggestions, not gospel truth. I would highly encourage you to not rely on the polling, because the methodology for most of it is garbage, actual garbage. Especially if you're relying on likely not registered voters, especially if you're limiting yourself to one particular geographical area, and especially if you're using landlines as opposed to cell or digital, because with landlines, you are absolutely immediately biasing your polling pool, your survey pool right out of the gate. Because I don't even have a landline. There are people, it's like mostly older individuals that have landlines. So you can't... It doesn't matter how much you're leading. I mean, like you look at California, New York, and some of these other left-leaning states. It doesn't matter how well you're doing there. You got to hit 270. 270 is that magical number. It is that magical number. Georgia's going to be a fight. It looks really close in Georgia. 538 has it. I will say 538 was more correct than the other ones back in 22 and 2020. There were a lot of polls that were taken in some of these other averages that were suggesting a red wave, and I didn't. And there were some folks that were a little aggravated at me for discounting it, and some were saying that I was underplaying it. Well, there's a reason why. I'm not going to present to you and run to you with anything, even if it costs me. I could go out there like a lot of these other fools and like run up the flagpole and do all this other stuff. I'm not going to do it because it doesn't serve you. What am I doing? Just playing the audience for views? That's so damn lame. That means you can't fall back on anything else other than the momentum of the time in order to nail something to the wall. And that's lame. So this, remember the final RCP average, and this is back in 2016. This is late. This is very late October 2016. I think it was like the 26th. It showed at that time it showed Clinton leading by 3.4, but Trump ended up with a 0.3 win. You see how weird this stuff gets? There's so many variables in here. There's so many things in here. So that's where, you know, in 2016, Trump was plus one in the RCP average. He won by almost 4 points. In 2020, he trailed by 1.8 and he was 0.2 up and won by 1.3. Right now, he's ahead at 1.1 at 538 and 0.9 at RCP. So I think he's probably leading in North Carolina. I actually had another headline where the Harris campaign, actually it was yesterday. Remember I was telling you that they were diverting their money out of Georgia and they were putting money into Pennsylvania, putting money in North Carolina and Georgia with the bulk of their media ad buys, last minute push, digitally, everything else going into North Carolina. So I think that they realize that Trump is really close leading. And so they're going to try to mute that. So it's close. It's super close. I think that that's pretty much the only thing that you can say with any kind of, certainty at this particular point. I mean, we have less than a week to go, just days now. It feels like to me that people have already pretty much determined who they're going to vote for. I mean, if you're one of those people that's going to be moved by, you know, Trump is Hitler, then you were never going to vote for Trump in the first place. You know, if you are one of those individuals who, thinks correctly that Kamala Harris is just, you know, absolute poison to the economy, she's a disaster, she's a continuation of Biden-Harris, you already have your mind made up. Steve notes, too, that Trump historically does underpull. The extent to which is dramatically different, though, I will add. He severely underpulled in 2016, I thought, in a couple of battleground states. I thought in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, he dramatically underpulled. So, but then I'm slightly exaggerating. I thought he underpulled considering he ended up winning and he ended up piercing the blue wall. I thought he was really underestimated and I thought he underpulled in those states. And Steve notes that we already have like half of the U.S. that's already cast their vote before Election Day. And that is true. A lot of one of the things that I've heard said, and I don't think that this is uniform across all the early voting, but a significant number of early voting in a number of states have been female led. Which is why Harris and all of them have been going out saying, well, don't tell your husband how you're going to vote. You know, vote for Harris. You don't have to tell your husband how you're going to vote. Like, women are stupid and they're somehow secretly pining to vote opposite. You're assuming that their husband's voting for Trump. And then you're also assuming that the husband's a jerk or abusive, or that the woman is unempowered and weak and that she has to be encouraged by these, political strategists to vote for Harris. This is just, I thought that also was really tone deaf and cringe. So you insult the black community and you call black men sexist. And now you're insulting all of women by saying if the women aren't voting for Harris, then somehow they're just like beaten housewives, because that's the intimation that's out there. And I think that always assuming the worst common denominator about the people who may not want to vote for you. I mean, it's cyclical and it's incredibly ironic because you do that and then you're shocked when they use that as a justification for not wanting to vote for you. It's a completely tone-deaf campaign. I just don't know if I've ever seen Democrats run the board worse than I have this time around. I really don't. There's not anything. I mean, I think people ultimately, the economy is going to be, and the economy is still the top thing, along with immigration, and that literally is the worst issue for her. She pulls so bad on that issue. And that's why she pivoted. Because they wanted to pretend that the economy was great, and then they couldn't fake you out on that. So now they wanted to pivot to, well, it's big business gouging everyone, and then they try to lie that supermarkets who have such a tiny margin of profit, they were price gouging people, so that they did not have to address the issue of inflation that was driving higher prices. The border, horrific, and then you have this American citizen Jewish walking to synagogue, killed by this, illegally, this illegal jihadi Muslim illegal immigrant who came through the southern border, was slated, he should have been deported in 23, let go in the San Diego sector, and then he killed somebody. This is crazy. In any other sensible period, that would be a campaign ender, but it's not for her. It's hard to be serious with these giant pumpkins on my head. I got to be honest with you. Every time I move my head, I can feel them, and it's weird, right? This is, these pumpkins are smiling, and then this is the most smiles you will see around my head ever. So I have a number of other things to get to. We got to get everything set as we roll towards the election. But also, additionally, I got some culture stuff for you, including a guy who's suing Hooters because they didn't hire him. Well, he thinks he's a woman, and he wanted to work at Hooters. And, well, the comments from social media have, after I tweeted this out, have been very interesting. We're going to talk about all of this. We got a lot of stuff to hit. Our partners at Preborn, new to the program, they do a lot to help save lives, and they do a lot to help preserve motherhood. This is, I mean, since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and this has been kicked back to the states, it's become a hot issue for many pro-abortion activists. Preborn is leading the charge in our nation to turn this country around, but they need your help. And you can help at preborn.com/Dana. Their clinics have counseled over 1 million women who have considered abortion. They've saved over 300,000 babies, and 80,000 women have been led to faith. And every day, Preborn Network clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. But they don't just stop there. They help mothers who choose life. They help them with maternity, baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, I mean, you name it. And all of these services are provided for free of charge, and they provide them with up to 2 years of assistance. And they let women see their infant on an ultrasound, hear the heartbeat. And when that happens, a baby's chance of life doubles. So you're the answer when you partner with them. A gift of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. You can help a woman meet her baby for the first time. $140 sponsorship sponsors five ultrasounds. But any donation amount helps. And it goes right to these services. When you become a monthly sponsor, you get ultrasound pictures of the babies that you help to save, and all gifts are tax deductible. And Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. It goes well beyond the ultrasounds. They partner with these women and help them not just as pregnant mothers, but new mothers when their babies are born as well. Visit preborn.com/Dana and help save a baby and a mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Okay, what is this baby dressed as, though? He's gnawing on this baby. What's this baby dressed as? Is this baby dressed as a chicken?
Yeah.
So that's a little tendy. That baby's dressed as a little tendy.
Says Biden.
I mean, I get it. You know, you want to, I got to say, the White House is, I do like the decorations.
Yeah.
Those are my everyday decorations. So I would actually leave that up until Santa had to come out, and then I'd put Santa's on the other side, and then I'd bring it back out after. That's just me, though. Like, you can get your everyday items, right? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Jill dressed as a panda. I asked Kane on break, wasn't she the babysitter or nanny to his kids, too? Hold up. Because I'm curious. I thought that maybe she was. Apparently, I guess she did. She was a babysitter at some point. She was, because there were some that were saying that she was the teenage babysitter, and some are disputing that. And I don't know. I don't know if she really was or not, but there's a vast age difference there. I don't know. Does it matter? No, she was dressed as a panda. I do like the Halloween decorations. I hate her Christmas decorations. I hate them because there's too many pastels and I hate it. That's jewel tone is Christmas. But I will say I do like the Halloween decorations. I will say that. But yeah, I don't know. I'd keep those out all the time. Coming up, man alive, we got some culture stuff to get into. Also, this video game clip, I'm going to set this up before we play it next hour. But there's this video game that's out, and they have a cutscene in it where the characters are shaming one of the other characters for not using the proper pronouns. And it's apparently a game where you can, and I'm not even making this up, because you know how you can customize your character to an extent, depending on what game it is. You can choose whether or not you want elective mastectomy scars or not. What? Not even making this up. This, it is the cringiest video. You might cringe to death. So there is a warning. There's a cringe to death warning on this. A cringe alert. I don't do trigger warnings. I do cringe alerts because it's so bad. I couldn't even finish watching it. I was just like, as I was watching it, I just kept curling up like a shrimp. Like, oh my gosh, why is that like that? It was so bad. So, but I'm going to play it for you because it's Halloween and it's the most terrifying thing you'll hear all day. So we're going to get into that as well. And then the latest with all of the election fight and the media malpractice, which is continuing. Oh, and on top of it, AOC is out there upholding Doug Emhoff. She said he is the representation of masculinity. Yes. Yes, that is correct. AOC, I'm just answering. I can hear their questions. Yes, AOC said that about Doug Emhoff. Yes, the guy who slapped his girlfriend in public in the valet line at the Cannes Film Festival. Correct. Yes, correct. The guy who impregnated his nanny and cheated on his first wife. Yes, that is absolutely correct. That guy, according to AOC, is the representation of masculinity.
Did she mispronounce femininity?
I don't know. Maybe you're not. When you're a bartender, you're supposed to give the drinks that you make to other people, not drink them, and then like go on and answer political questions on Instagram. I don't know what her deal is, but that's what I don't know. So we got a lot to hit, y'all, as we roll towards our second hour, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it because we've got a lot. In fact, as we move, stick with us. Back in just wait. Back in moments. There it is. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm typing up something super snotty right now to Miguel Cardona, who's the secretary of, isn't he education, Cardona?
Health,
no, that's Mayorkas.
You're right, it is.
Yeah. Welcome back. Dana Lash, top of the second hour. We're being snotty on break is all we're doing. We're just being absolute. You know, I forgot to hit the wolf because I was so busy clapping back. Hold up. I'm going to hear it if I don't. I will get hate mail. Got to give him his due. So welcome back. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 DirecTV. Miguel Cardona tweeted, "Happy Halloween. One of the scariest stories we can tell our children in the future is that there were folks who tried to defund and attack their public education, and we sat idly by and let them. We will not let it happen." I'm saying one of the scariest things we can tell our children is that your administration will lose hundreds of thousands of them dragged across the border by coyotes and sold into child labor and sex slavery. That's accurate, right? Yeah. That's pretty accurate. We're going to hit send tweet. Hold up. No, I got to do the clap back. Everything's got to stop. We got to send tweet because it's true. And have they ever, have you ever heard anything about all them kids missing? Remember the New York Times story that we talked about? I'm just saying.
That's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids. No, that's the scariest thing. Remember the scariest thing used to be like razors in your candy? Did you guys freak out about this? Did your parents lose it when you when y'all were kids? I don't. My mom really didn't care. Jesus. I know. That's like, again, my so I'm part of the Gen X generation. Yes, granted, the baby part, but still. And I went through my own candy. My mom was, she wore, had a, wore a cigarette. Kind of. She had a cigarette that never really went away. And it just, I think it was almost fake. And it was like perched on her mouth. She was like Clint Eastwood. She'd be like, yeah, I better go through her candy. I can't. I got to do it somehow. Is there a straw?
Do you have a pen?
I don't know if I have a pen. I got to, like, I need, if someone's, someone give me a straw. I need a straw cut in half. And because she would be like, yeah, better check your candy. Better, I'm going to have a straw on my desk all the time for any time I do an impersonation of my mother. Because that's how it was, like, back in the day, right?
Just get a real cigarette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here, I'll use my lip gloss. She'd be like, yeah, that's actually too big. I can't let it just sit on my mouth. Anyway. She would say, she'd say, better go through your candy and check, make sure there's nothing weird in there. That was it. And we would, we'd all be in like my aunt's house and we'd dump it all out on the floor and we'd go through our candy. And, you know, you would put like the bit of honey, the bit of honey, which was always like stale and hard. You'd break your jaw on it.
Love bit of honey.
Are you mad?
I love it.
Wait. Did you give me trash for saying candy corn was the best Halloween
just
treat?
Just like you're giving me trash for liking bit of
gosh.
Honey.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm giving you trash
not
for liking candy corn.
Exalting bit of honey.
You're like, it's like eating a candle with sugar is what is candy corn. That's what it is. Bit of honey, though, on
it's
the other
like
hand.
It's like eating sugar.
Is a wholesome honey-based treat.
I'm just saying. So, gross. Okay, if you think there's real honey in there, good for you. I'm not gonna ruin your little dream.
Thank
it's
you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
We all know there's not. Anyway, so that's how we anyway, back to my point. Weren't parents always told, like, you gotta, parents would tell their kids, oh my gosh, you gotta check because there was always cocaine or razors. And I'm like, who's putting razors in like Tootsie Rolls and stuff? Like, how are you getting razors? I never had that issue. I didn't never knew anybody who had that issue. That's not the scariest thing, though. The scariest thing now is, well, damn, you might get kidnapped by some cartel members and sold into sex slavery. Better look out, kids. That's actually, you know, statistically greater than having razors in your candy, I gotta say. I don't know. Are you surprised that kids can even trick-or-treat anymore? Are you surprised?
I am.
I actually put a story in your prep last night about a town that has lifted their ban on trick-or-treating since the 1930s.
Was it Footloose?
They I know. And they finally lifted it this year. So kids this year, and almost like, it's like 80-something years, they haven't been able to trick-or-treat, but this year they're able
That's crazy. At least, you know, at least they can still go out and do that stuff. I haven't heard anything about appropriation this year with costumes, have you?
Not yet.
Yeah. My favorite thing is to go to Spirit Halloween the moment I can. And look at all the costumes and kind of, they don't, there's zero political correctness there. They just don't care. It's like Spencer's meets Hot Topic back when Hot Topic was sort of cool in a way. I mean, I never really got anything from there, but it was kind of, I like the band posters that they had when I was in college and that there. But yeah, nobody really cares at Spirit Halloween. You can dress up like a pimp and get a fake gold chain. I'm just saying, you know, there's all kinds of fun stuff there. I get it that not everybody does Halloween and trick-or-treating, and I don't care. I always think it's a great way to do. When do you have all these people coming to your house? Evangelize to them then. That's fine. Give them out a Bible and a Tootsie Roll. I don't care. Yeah. Just don't be throwing no shade on people who, you know, it's not all about, it's All Hallows Eve. It started as like a holy thing and then they moved the date so that they could absorb the pagan stuff. Apparently wasn't that the plan? Anyway, I don't care. Everything's been too serious. Dear heavens, let some people have a little bit of fun or I'm going to turn into Moo Dang and bite you all in the knee. That's what's going to happen. Oh my gosh, that little baby pygmy hippo. Love her. All right, so the garbage turnaround, it's been pretty amazing. This women, I'm going to pull this up because Harris, this is the story I had saved. Julia Roberts did this video that she, I think it came out yesterday. There's been a series of these celebrities. And they have been, this is kind of weird. They've been saying that, women you can secretly vote for Kamala. Julia Roberts did this video where she says women still have the right to choose in the voting booths, even if their husbands support Trump. Like, what kind of toxic marriage does she have that she thinks that this is something that needs to be said? Right? Like, what? How bad is your marriage that you feel like that this is something that you actually have to say? She says no one will ever know. I just think that says more about her than it does anybody else. Didn't she get her husband from another woman? I'm just saying that might explain some things. Just saying. But it's been an actual thing. Harris's message out there has been, if you vote GOP, it's because your man's making you. That's kind of what it was. In fact, that's what Michelle Obama was saying to a Michigan audience. She said, quote, if you're a woman who lives in a household of men that don't listen to you or value your opinion, just remember that your vote is a private matter. I think that says more about Democrats than it does Republicans. I will say, again, I was raised Democrat. One of my biological genetic contribution units is a Marxist. So, yeah, I totally get how Democrats think that that's the norm. Completely. I saw it growing up. I mean, part of the way I am the way I am is because I realized that they are the way they are. So they think that this is normal. They think it's commonplace. I mean, this is just, it's sexist. It's inherently sexist because they're telling women, well, you must not have a happy marriage if your husband's voting for Trump. And also what they're intimating is that simply voting Trump is abusive. Isn't that kind of what you're getting from this too? That simply by voting Republican that you're somehow, your husband's abusive. It's like what it kind of feels like. That's what they're saying here. That's what they're projecting. They have this smarmy ad. It's from a Harris group called Vote Common Good. And they're presuming that women are terrified of their husbands. Here's Julia Roberts' clip. Juan's got it ready. Watch this. This is so dumb.
Your turn, honey.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose, you can vote any way you want. And no one will ever know.
First off, what polling place looks like that?
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris.
So it projects that men are stupid, men are abusive, women are unempowered and weak, and that that's exactly, you know, and that they're completely controlled. And it's like, you know, I find that so incredibly offensive. That's so offensive. And again, I think that says more about the people who make this ad. I feel like the people who made this ad are single and they've never been married, or they're married to a sexist misogynist who forces them to vote Democrat. And that's why they are the way they are. I don't know. But how is this a winning message? Did you make the right choice, honey? Like, he asks abusively. They're just tone deaf. First, it's, oh, well, black men are sexist. That's why they're not supporting Kamala. Oh, it couldn't happen. It couldn't have anything to do with the fact that everybody's broke and they, like every other American, skin color irrelevant, can see this. Democrats think that they really do think this. They think that the economic instability only affects certain people based on skin color. I mean, the racism that these people practice is so rooted. Sure did, honey. She thinks that women are the weaker sex. And that their marriage is so unhealthy that they can't talk honestly about political differences. That's really sad. That is really sad. And it promotes such an unhealthy view. Salon, which is basically a suppository of socialism, they said that MAGA men are freaking out that their wives are secretly voting for Harris. Literally no one. I don't know any dude who thinks this or who is worried. This is all a fever dream that Democrats have. I mean, that's what he thinks. That's what all of these people think that are pushing this out. This is just so glamour. Can my husband find out who I voted for? The fact that you have to ask that question, you are actually a dumbass if you have to ask that question. Yeah, you can find out if someone voted, but who you voted for is not something that you can just, you know, I can look and see if somebody voted in the election and you can see if they're like registered Democrat or Republican or whatever. But, and then you can make assumptions based on that. But otherwise, that's such a dumb headline. Sexism and racism. That's, again, all they have. That's all they have. All they have. And it just, at some point, I don't know, I guess I thought that Democrats would change their messaging. It's been the same thing since I was a kid. I have not learned anything new from the Democrat Party. They have not offered any kind of new way forward. They have never modified or progressed their messaging. They haven't modernized their messaging. It's been the same stale, tired tread since the 70s, 60s. I don't know. I've just heard it growing up the entire time. It was like that in the 80s into the 90s. It's all I've ever heard from them. I've never heard anything different from them. And it's so tiring. And despite all of that, everything is worse under them. Coming up, Georgia says you're going to get your election results before the end of the night. They're promising it. We're going to get into that and so much more. We got a lot to hit as we roll towards headlines. Our partners, the folks over at ReadyWise, they're always ready, even if you're not. That's what I like about ReadyWise. Like, ReadyWise is just waiting there, waiting up in your pantry, waiting up in your cabinets, you know, just waiting to get going. And if you need it, it's ready because it has a 25-year shelf life. Think about like the weather. Think about some of this other stuff that's been happening lately. Yeah, you always want to make sure that you are prepared to feed yourself and your family, because in times of crisis, you never want to have to worry about where your meals are coming from. So two things for you. They have the 20% off when you use Dana20 at checkout. Then they also have the 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one. So it's $100 in value, but you're getting it for $50. And that includes two boxes. They have 12 pouches of premium survival food. You have the drinks, the breakfast, everything. You're getting everything you need for your daily needs, your calories, all your caloric intake, your protein, your carbs. It's like 20% of your daily carbs as well. So not only is it going to power you to get through whatever you need to get through, but you got comfort in a crisis and beyond. And it's a smart choice because this is all made, all sourced in the U.S., packed in the U.S. You know the chain of command for your U.S. food, and you're supporting U.S. agriculture and jobs. 25-year shelf life, as I said. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. 20% off your entire purchase. That's what it gets you. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Film Academy has added handwritten Pulp Fiction script, a whole bunch of stuff, including Ms. Yazaki art, to their collection of stuff that they're, I guess, they're auctioning off. But it was the Academy Museum in Los Angeles. They had their big fundraising gala. And they, when Quentin Tarantino walked in with a duffel bag, and everyone thought it was real weird. And then when he opened it up, it was his original handwritten script for Pulp Fiction with misspellings, mistakes, and everything. He was giving it to the museum. It's actually really crazy. And he writes like, I mean, it's, you can tell he writes fast. It's kind of slow, but it's very interesting. I thought that was like fascinating that he had that in there. So they had a whole bunch of stuff that they were auctioning off. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see. You know, animals seek alcohol in the wild. In Exeter in the UK, they've been studying the intriguing theory that, you know, drinking alcohol or ethanol is uniquely human. And apparently many other animals, isn't there like a fermented fruit that's on a bush that like a certain elephants and that will try to eat and then they get drunk or something like that? They said that it's an anthropocentric view that ethanol is just something that humans use. I actually do believe that because monkeys feed on special fruit, and I know that elephants do, and there's like another animal that does as well. But they said that, yeah, this is actually a lot of animals will seek this out. And there are even some sea life that will seek out like the venom of certain fish because it makes them high, like octopus. It's crazy. I didn't even know that. Little drunky drunk octopedes. What is it? Octopedes. Little drunky McDrunk octopedes down there. Drunk octopedes. I feel like would be a very good band name of marine biologists who do punk and they play it in scuba suits. Just, you know. Okay. A study shows that belief alone could harm your brain. If you're worried that you're losing your mind, a study shows that believing that you were losing your mind by itself could actually hurt your brain and make you help lose your mind. That's kind of crazy. It's Pennsylvania State University that did this study. We have more in the way of changing the guard in the Senate. And what does the Senate look like after Tuesday? We'll talk. Our partners at Black Rifle Coffee. The best coffee that is out there. The best roast. They get the best coffee beans. This is great coffee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run, veteran-roasted. They get the best coffee beans from around the world, and they bring them back to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah, and they roast them. You can have right now at blackriflecoffee.com. You need to check out their Freedom Roast. It's what our founding fathers would drink if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee. They're drinking any coffee, it'd be Black Rifle Coffee. And if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee, it'd be Freedom Roast. It's a smooth, medium roast. You got notes of milk and chocolate and vanilla, and it's complemented by a hint of cinnamon and a buttery finish, and every sip is a throat punch to Marxism. It's a tribute to liberty and those who fought for our nation. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And subscribe to the Coffee Club at Black Rifle Coffee and get free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep. And you get the convenience of always having your favorite coffee on hand without the need for last-minute trips. That's stressful when you wake up and there's no coffee. You can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com and taste all of the other top shelf roasts they offer, like the Black Roast, Just Black, and Silencer Smooth. And whatever you decide, you get 20% off your order with code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I was just thinking, and welcome back, Dana Lash with you, your lovable former retired goth curmudgeon. Still curmudgeon, but retired goth. Happy Halloween to you. All Hallows Eve. Bottom of this second hour. I told Kane on break, the irony of Kamala Harris and her campaign telling women, hey, you can keep your vote a secret, you know, from your husband, who's probably going to beat you, you know, if you tell him that you're not voting for Trump. The irony of her trying to use that as a campaign tactic while her husband's out there, like, punching chicks in the valet line at the Cannes Film Festival and knocking up the nanny during his first marriage is chef's kiss. Holy wow, man. Wow. The complete lack of self-awareness is stunning, Kane. It's stunning.
It does explain their response.
I mean, when I think of Doug Emhoff, I think of that Smack My Bee Up song from Prodigy. I mean, it's the first. By the way, can I just, will you indulge me 1 second? Let me. What defines privilege more than being Doug Emhoff, an entertainment lawyer, with his girlfriend at one of the bougiest events in the world, the Cannes Film Festival? You are in the valet line at a gala in France, in southern France. You're in the valet line, and you get upset because you think your girl is like flirting with one of the valets, and you slap her in front of people, and all her friends confirm it, and apparently there were witnesses, and you slap her in the valet line at the camp. I mean, if we were playing bougie bingo, we'd have it.
Did she accidentally say who she was voting for?
Maybe that's why. Maybe she told him, because wasn't this like back in 2016 or 20, whenever? Because he only just recently married Harris. And they act like they're an old married couple, and his kids grew up with her, and they didn't. I mean, they literally, it's all new. So I just got to say, you know, it's just wild to me that the absolute chef's kiss lack of self-awareness. The Economist has just announced that they are endorsing Harris. Today in irony. The Economist.
Okay.
Wow. So I knew that they were garbage, and they have been for a very long time, but now it's like official. I think it's so lame. Like, we have already endorsed. We can tell who you've endorsed by just, you know, wait, how your coverage is. Is this, can you play Mark Cuban?
Yeah.
What, is Mark Cuban a plant? Is he a plant? Go ahead and play this for me. So this is Mark Cuban. I don't know. Oh, was he on the Shmoo? Oh, you know what? He's on that delightful show where they stuck cameras out in the barnyard. And then it just got picked up by NBC, was it NBC, and it became a show called The Shmoo. Anyway, here he is. He's probably on one of his jets, and he's, I guess, zooming into the shmoo. Yeah. And this is what he had to say. Wow.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple.
Well, he said that no strong, intelligent women would vote for the former president in his clip. Are they trying to lose? This is exactly what I would do. So wait a minute. Do you think Mark Cuban's wife, is he married? Do you think that if she wanted to vote for Trump, that she, because I kind of get the sense that she feels like she wouldn't be able to tell Mark Cuban that she could.
Yeah. She'd get her cash card cut off.
Yeah, he cut off her stipend that she gets every month. Yeah. Her allowance, her wifely allowance. Just saying. And if he thinks that there are no strong, intelligent, so if his wife is voting with him, then I guess, right. I don't know. That's just wild to me. They think this is a winning message. Women don't like to be browbeaten. I mean, especially if they have anti-authoritarian streaks like I do. The moment you come down heavy on me, I am not, and a lot of women are like this. I do not recoil. I will come at your throat. I do not get backed into a corner. A lot of chicks are like this. And when you start messaging to us like this, it's reverse psychology. Like, my husband knows this, and so he tailors his message accordingly. Right?
Smart man.
That's why we've been married for 24 years.
But can we take a 30,000-foot view at the Democrat strategy here? Because it wasn't that long ago, and they're still doing it. They're saying men are sexist because they're not voting for Kamala. And now they're saying women are not strong or intelligent if they're voting for Trump. So they're insulting men and women as a strategy for getting votes coming up.
So men are sexist Tuesday. If they don't vote for Kamala, and women are dumb and abused if they don't vote for Kamala.
Yep. That's their strategy. What the hell?
I think we're going to know pretty early on Tuesday. Yeah. I think we are. And I think the earlier we know, honestly, I think the better it is for Trump. And because that's when you get a lot of the early counts right away are going to come in. And I think that's when we're going to know, honestly. I sort of feel like we're going to know by 8 o'clock, 8:30 maybe, we're going to have an idea. And then it's just going to fill in the blanks from there. That's what I honestly think. This messaging, I know women who are on the left that don't like this sort of messaging. Man, they're playing a very dangerous game, are they not? I mean, let them play it. I mean, I don't want to interrupt them, you know, but I'm just saying, dang. Now, you know who's been MIA? Mitch McConnell's stepping down. Let me pull this up because I had a change in the guard. Mitch McConnell is going to be stepping down. He's not going to be leading the Senate, and a lot of senators are trying to fill that vacuum. There's going to be a lot of money dumping into these Senate races because the GOP have to win back the majority, and a lot of people, including the race to replace McConnell, John Cornyn, John Thune, Rick Scott. John Cornyn and I have a weird relationship. Like, he comes on every now and then, but it's odd. Like, he and I don't totally see eye to eye on gun stuff. He has come on, though, and we've sort of hammered it out. But he's being in Texas, if you're a Republican in Texas with Cornyn's record, you're a moderate. And it's kind of weird. But anyway, he's John Thune from South Dakota, Rick Scott of all people. I just think he's trash. I think Rick Scott is a moderate rhino who passed red flag law. And so I see some of these like alt-right conspiracists that are flirting with him and having Rick Scott on their, you know, very poorly performing, you know, podcast, you know, whatever shows. And Rick Scott, of course, they would have him on. He's, you know, he's a red flag. He's the guy who signed into law red flag legislation for Florida. They have a waiting period, and that's because of Rick Scott. all the moderate stuff that you have in your legislature is Rick Scott. Rick Scott dragged his feet on medical marijuana. DeSantis had to move to get it done with SB 182. One of the reasons why you have this stupid Amendment 3 fight in Florida right now, and by the way, that has nothing to do with weed. Anyone who thinks that it has to do with marijuana, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to sound like a bitch, but I got to question your reading comprehension. Because I've read the ballot language, because I don't want to believe anybody. And there are too many right-leaning influencers, would you like me to name them, that are getting paid by Trulieve to promote Amendment 3, and they're not telling you. And some of them are on, I've seen some of them on cable news. Some campaigns have gotten cash from Trulieve as campaign donations. The weird thing is I guess they forgot this is publicly available information, considering how the donations have to be filed for the FCC or FEC. Interesting, isn't it? So I bring that up because there's been no transparency and I wanted to read the ballot language. Not that I didn't trust the people, because I had some very good friends, including Daniel Horowitz, who's going to be on next hour, who were saying that it was bad. I wanted to read it. And I don't know how you can read this and think it's about marijuana. Marijuana is a variable. And I'm going to come back to my point here. Because Trulieve is a Canadian company and they're literally writing law that benefits them. They have no liability for anything they can do. They're setting themselves up like a Pfizer / Disney. Like, remember how Disney was set up to where they had more as much power in the state of Florida as they're like a city state, like the Vatican and Rome. They could do whatever they wanted. That's what Trulieve is trying to get themselves to. They've spent millions of dollars. They've bankrolled a number of legislative campaigns. They've bankrolled a number of these. I know influencers that are getting six figures. And they're very, I've seen a lot of my audience retweet them and they're getting, and they don't know that these people have been paid by them. I've seen it on Open Secret, so I can tell you who's been paid. It's all out there, public. It's sad. But the point is that it's a big Canadian company that came in. They wrote the amendment. The CEO wrote the amendment, and they are trying to make it to where they control all of marijuana in Florida. If you think you're going to get a license to grow and sell in Florida, I got a bridge to sell you. It's not going to happen. They're going to control it. It's going to be a racket. I mean, you can't grow or sell or do anything. They ought to run it like moonshine. They should make these laws to match that of like moonshine. You know what I mean? It's like a steroid shot for the black market. That's what's going to happen in Florida with us. And Trulieve will run everything. It is absolutely a monopoly. Anyone who has two brain cells to rub together and can read the ballot language knows this. So I don't know why these people are trying to blow smoke up your backside, acting like it's not big government. And any Republican that's out there endorsing this stuff, go ahead and kiss Pfizer's ass too, because it's the same thing. Go ahead and go fluff Big Pharma. It's the same thing. The exact same thing. It has nothing to do with marijuana. Don't be like, I'm going to like it because it says marijuana in it, and that makes me look cool by association. No, it just shows you haven't read the ballot language and you're back in big government. It has nothing to do with weed. If you like marijuana, and I'm not a pot person, I hate big government. That's why I hate Amendment 3. Anyway, my whole point is that they're going to have to change. And Rick Scott in Florida, he was one of the reasons why this is a problem. And one of the reasons why the legislature never moved on this. And now you have him. He's announced that he's throwing his hat in the ring to place Mitch McConnell. I want you to watch the people who back Rick Scott on this. The people who back Rick Scott on replacing Mitch McConnell are not your allies. They are your ideological enemies. People who are backing Rick Scott to replace Mitch McConnell are ideological enemies. And I would use a stronger word, but that one will suffice right now. He's actually, in some respects, worse than Mitch McConnell. I mean, we would be de-evolving. We're not moving towards more limited government with somebody like that. You're literally going for, at least Mitch McConnell didn't push red flag law like Rick Scott did. So you make note of who supports him for Senate leader. Might as well not even have the damn Senate if you're going to have somebody like Rick Scott lead it. I mean, hell, at least get a Democrat who's unafraid to say that they're Democrat instead of one who cosplays as one, as a Republican, but really is a Democrat. We got a lot more on the way still, but that's what's happening. And in Texas, you got Cruz going up against this Colin Allred guy. Here's the thing, and I made a remark about this to a friend of mine the other day. Beto O'Rourke was a horrible candidate, but he had a good network of people running his campaign that ran the campaign like a system. where they're just pulling levers. It didn't matter who the candidate was. Beto was just a bad candidate. And a lot of those people were people left over from the Wendy Davis thing. That was an exercise in just seeding the ground and registering Democrats. Colin Allred is a little similar. He is, I'm not saying that he's a good politician or a good candidate or good for the seat, but in terms of being a more competent human as a candidate, he's more competent than Beto because he doesn't commit as many unforced errors, but he doesn't have the mechanism there that's running his campaign the way that Beto O'Rourke had. And so it's a little bit, it's just weird. And I think as a result of that, he doesn't have a lot of that shine and a lot of that momentum, but it's close. I think it's close. It's, you know, it's definitely close. And I think that has to do with feelings towards Cruz more so than a change in the makeup of the electorate, which is a whole other story. And we'll dive into all of that stuff post-election. We got to go because we got to Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, authorities said that a drunk Florida man was arrested for causing a disturbance at the House of Blues in Orlando in Disney Springs as he repeatedly spat at deputies before he was taken to jail. As a result, Domingo Pagan, 47, faces multiple criminal charges. He had to be taken away in a spit mask, according to the sheriff's office. Ended up happening. It happened back in August, but it takes weeks to get public records, which is why it's just news now. But he had to be secured in handcuffs and a spit mask. And because he was pretending that he was going to throw up, and then he was spitting at people. He would pretend to throw up to get the mask taken off his face. And then we would do it. He'd spit at officers. So they put it back on. Then it was a cycle. He is represented by, well, he doesn't have his own representation. But he's in the pokey. So, good heavens. A Florida man randomly assaulted a sleeping United passenger in a bloody mid-flight beating, say the feds. 44-year-old Everett Chad Nelson is facing federal charges after he beat a sleeping traveler. He apparently randomly sucker-punched this dude while flying from California to D.C. for no reason. And then, apparently, like, there was blood flying everywhere. 2 hours into the five-hour journey, it happened. It was going from San Francisco to Dulles, of course, San Francisco. The 44-year-old Nelson left his seat in the rear of the aircraft, headed one of the lavatories up front. 82 passengers, 6 crew members aboard the flight. When Nelson got out of the bathroom, he stopped at 12F and without notice began physically attacking a sleeping male passenger. He punched him repeatedly into the face until blood was drawn. And then they said it went for a full minute. The man began screaming, and then a good Samaritan intervened, pulled Nelson off of him, and he gave the guy 2 black eyes, busted his nose, blood all over everything, and apparently they had no pre-existing condition. I mean, like, apparently it came out of absolutely nowhere. And flight attendants moved Nelson to where they could keep an eye on him for the remainder of the flight, and then the victim was treated by a doctor who happened to be on board. And then the FBI apparently met him when he got out of the gate and all this stuff. So he's in detention and he's going to be arraigned, I think, coming up. So, wow, he could face a few years behind bars. Completely random. Let's see here. A Florida man got arrested because he stole $100,000 of frozen bacon.
Whoa.
That's a lot of bacon. $100,000 in Miami. 40-year-old Marcus Bernal. A 53-foot refrigerated semi. Damn. Stick with us, third hour. Welcome back to the show, guys. Oh, wait. I forgot it again. Dana Lash here with you, my werewolf, because it's All Hallows Eve. See, we got our werewolf. I got this dude's new. I don't know what he is, but I liked his chain. So we got, like, all kind of new things happening right now. It's all crazy. I previously had this dude on the porch, but he scared the hell out of, I'm not turning it off all the way. We're just going to let it go. Sorry. It's on live radio. No big deal. No big deal. Yeah, the button is not properly. This is like a horrible design. Welcome back. Top of the third hour. Dana Lash with you. And we are on this crazy train to Tuesday. I don't know. I'm ready for this election to be over. People are fighting. I just watched a video of a poll worker hit a dude and he threw his hat at her, and everyone's losing their minds. And just be cool, please, when you're going to vote. Just be cool. And let everybody else be the jerks. You lose nothing. I don't know. It's It's kind of crazy. And we were going over some of the polling. It's close. And I'm also exhorting you, please do not take everything to be, you know, gospel truth with a lot of these polls that are out. Because they're not all accurate. And I do think it's close. I think maybe looking at down ballot gives you a better idea as to the health of the top of the ticket and being and the distance between these two candidates than it does looking at like these national surveys. Honestly, it's just my feeling on it. But can I switch gears real quick? I need to lighten it up for a moment. Can we talk about the guy who wanted to work at Hooters? Oh, ladies. Oh, gentlemen, this happened. A man is suing Hooters for discrimination because they wouldn't hire him. And he said it was discriminatory. They wouldn't hire him based on his image. Now, I'm seeing him as a woman, and he's ugly. He is an ugly chick. He is a big, ugly chick.
Oh, yeah.
Are you shocked? I mean, are you shocked that he's a big, ugly chick? Of course not. He's not attractive. And I don't care if a restaurant is like, you know what? We want only attractive people serving our tendies. That's it. I don't even know what they have there. Just, I mean, I'm assuming all kinds of chicken. I don't even know. We only want attractive women serving our chicken. And I'm like, at least they're being honest about it. I mean, who are you to judge? It's their business. They can do whatever. Leave it alone. You don't have to go there. And this guy is mad. I honestly think that he might win because it's in New York. He filed a claim with the New York State Division of Human Rights. They investigated, of course, and they found that his rights may have been violated.
Whose rights? His?
His.
Oh, his rights. Okay.
And continuing with my favorite sentence in the piece, Hooters has hit back. They said that the guy, I don't know if he, did he change his name? Well, he goes by Brandy Livingston.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Juan, you're going to have to show his whatever haircut that is that he's got. Dude, I don't even know what haircut this is that he has. So Hooters hit back. They said that, you know, basically what I was telling you, they said that he was told he couldn't go to the back to their establishment because his behavior was offensive. They said he made sexually explicit comments to servers on multiple occasions before he transitioned. And he's accused of asking servers to marry him. And then discussing stuff that no one should ever discuss in a public setting. Yeah. Or with anyone, period. And then he threatened to go to a gun range for practice the next time he comes. Oh, that's something. I actually believe that. I believe. Now, Juan is showing you this dude. What? I don't know what the haircut is. It's like a skunk mullet. I don't even know what it is. It's like a rat tail. It's like a rat tail and a mullet married and had the baby on its head, on his head. That's what it is.
Side mullet.
It's not even a side mullet. Well, we'll hopefully show the guy. They'll show the guy again in the video, but this is some of the video. The guy is just nasty, but he's a big dude. So is this about him thinking that he's a chick and wanting to work at Hooters? Or is it, it sounds like he was a psycho over these chicks and was harassing them and then found a new way to harass them. This guy's hair, Juan's got it up. That's like a rat tail and a mullet that had a baby. I mean, in all my time, I ain't never seen anything like that. And I got family from Southern Missouri and I ain't never seen no hair like this. I don't even know what this is. If I was a dude, I would not want him to serve me at Hooters. I wouldn't go to Hooters, but I'm just saying, if I was a dude and I went to Hooters, I wouldn't want that guy to serve me no tendies. I wouldn't want him to. I'd be like, I need a new server because this one's ugly. I would say that. Can you imagine? I would be a horrible dude. I really would be. I mean, it'd be like, this one's ugly. Bring me a new one. I don't want this one. And then so this guy was like, I never said anything. My mom would take me to the gun range for clay pigeon and shooting and trap. And he goes, I feel like one of the servers might have overheard me and my dad were talking about. Wait, so you went to Hooters with your dad? Dudes, is that normal? Is that normal?
Is it normal to go with a dude?
No, with your dad. If you're like,
I don't see why not. I think I've been to Hooters with my dad before.
I've been with my dad
have
as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
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 I mean, they serve burgers and chicken. I mean, I don't know what they serve, really.
All right. Yeah. Oh, you don't? I love how you just added that in there. That's just like I'm gonna judge your dude.
They may have wings.
You're single, man. You can go to Hooters.
They may have fries.
It's not like people who get hired at Hooters don't know what they're doing. It's not like, all right, we're gonna serve chicken, and then after they hire and they sign a contract, it's not like the owners go, all right, you're gonna have TNA out, and you're gonna wear these ugly tan tights and tight orange shorts and serve chicken. It's called Hooters for a reason, ladies. That's not how this happens. Like everybody knows, right? He goes, what this dude says, he goes, I don't want money. I just want an apology. I'm never going to get that. No, you're not, because you're an ugly dude who has no business working at Hooters unless you're bussing tables. Shh. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know what? You're not made for everything, and that's okay. Not everything in life is fair. I'm not a caprillionaire, or what is it, a decillionaire? Is that what it's called now?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not that. That's okay. Not everything in life is fair. That's all right. You know, I'm short-waisted. That's okay. Not everything in life is fair. I get it.
They could put him in charge of carrying those 100-pound bags of tape.
I mean, he could do security, but that's like it. Actually, that would be very effective. Put him in that outfit and put him at the door.
Right.
There is no dude who wants to be going up against Brandy at Hooters, right? Hi, welcome to Hooters. My name is Brandy. I feel like he doesn't even need to have any kind of enhancements. It's just kind of there already. Just lift it up for him.
Ma'am.
It's ma'am. Happy Halloween. Oh, you're already dressed up. How dare you?
So excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
He, by the way, the dude in that video looked like He-Man through an evil filter.
Yeah.
Like an evil He-Man from a different universe, yeah. Right?
Like he and Skeletor melded together.
Yeah. I mean...
The Looking Glass told me Brandy was a fine girl.
Oh my gosh! I had to. There, by the way, there were people literally who were protesting outside of the Hooters. Well, there are like threes of people. Yeah, and there's a sign that says "Justice for Brandy." What is wrong with you people? I'm sorry. No. You are lame as all get out and cringe. If you have the time, I'm going to go make a sign and protest outside of a Hooters because this fat guy couldn't get hired there. Who does this? Who does this? Oh my gosh. Can you imagine not having a life and this is what you do? And there are two dudes and a Karen. Of course they are.
Probably three dudes.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, you're probably correct. Well, there you go. I mean, just saying, we live in a crazy time. Just think, there's like one pretty lady that this dude could disenfranchise by trying to force them to hire him. Just put him up, literally, put him up in the outfit and stick him at the door. All right, Brandy, you're doing security and bussing tables. I want to serve tendies. No, you're not. You're going to do security at the door, Brandy. Take your big ass over there. I don't know if
she's
I want to go to that Hooters. Their door lady is terrifying.
My eyes are up here, man.
Oh, come on, guys. Oh, all right. So we had to have a break because it's insane right now. It's crazy. We had to have a break, a little bit of a break. All right, one other culture thing. And then we're going to get back into meat and potatoes because we got Daniel Horowitz coming up and we're going to talk deep about economics and everything else. So I saw a headline. It said women applaud and men mourn the downfall of high heels. They're trying to say that high heels are on the out. And I think that would be a horrible insult to all of femaledom if that happened. High heels make your legs look better. They're great for your calves. They're great for your muscles, really. They are great for the way you're shaped, if you have good posture. But what do they want everybody to wear? Them Clydesdale clodhoppers? I don't understand. Like, what? But I get the sense that someone was saying that it's like a fourth wave feminist rejection of traditional femininity. And I don't know about you, but I want to take these fourth wavers and swing them around by their hair. They're all Brandies now to me. I'm done with it. they said there's a generational shift, and someone was saying that it's like fourth wave, and that it's you know, it's more for men than it is. No, it's not. It's not more for men. And if anyone thinks that, then you have like a skewed view. And they're comfortable if you like know how to walk in them, and you get the proper shoes. I feel like women, ladies, you got a question about heels, you come ask your girl. You come ask me. Men, you send your ladies to come ask me. I will answer any question for you. That makes me sad, though, because high heels are great. Rounded toes are horrible. Platforms are horrible. Heels are where it's at. They make your legs look good. I swear you, like, they'll take weight off you. Ladies, you just trust me on this, please. All right, so a couple of other things is that people have been going to the polls. And early voting, you got millions of early, like half the country apparently is like, well, half of the voters they're estimating have already voted. And this, I'm looking at some of this. This is here's the headline I wanted. Harris says that she will be sadly ready, and that was in quotes, if Trump prematurely claims victory Tuesday. What does that mean? She was asked by ABC in an interview what she would do if Trump were to say that he won before the results are in Tuesday. And they said, well, you know, he did in 2020. She goes, quote, we are sadly ready. And if he does, if we know that he is actually manipulating the press and attempting to manipulate the consensus of the people, we are prepared to respond. What does that even mean? And they are trying to knock him for only committed to accepting the election results if he thinks that they're free and fair. You guys realize that you all said that he was illegitimate in 2016, right? They all said that.
And they immediately impeached him, like, day one.
Yeah, and then they rioted the night of the inauguration. Well, also the night of the election, but the night of the inauguration. So, I don't know what they think they're getting at here.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first up, Amazon announces a plan to develop 4 nuclear reactors along the Columbia River. Man, they're building everything lately. Amazon's going crazy. The announcement new, they said that they plans its 4 nuclear reactors along the Columbia River in Washington in an effort to consistently achieve net zero carbon. The facility, a small modular reactor created in collaboration with Energy Northwest, will be sanctioned near the Columbia Generating Station Nuclear Energy Facility in Richmond, Washington. So, nuclear power. A driver who caused a crash was playing the TikTok driving challenge, say police. How great. I'm so tired of this stuff. It's all this stupid influencer stuff. They said the 2-vehicle crash ended with one car on fire, and it was caused by a driver who played a TikTok game called Drift. According to the Central Police Department, officers responded to calls about a northbound vehicle, and apparently it was like brake checking other drivers, and it was... This is so dumb. Let's like not do this stuff. Of course, don't have anything about the perps, really. But this... I don't understand this. This woman is 107 years old, lives to 107. She has a 4-inch longevity horn growing... What? From her forehead. Like a narwhal? She's from China. She has a horn growing out of her head. You're the devil. It was on the Chinese version of TikTok. I guess it's real. It's kind of crazy. They said she's in good health. It's a cutaneous horn, and it has to do with prolonged sun exposure. It's really gross looking. They said it's benign, but, you know, things could grow malignant. That's actually gross. Like, just cut it off. Why would you let it go? You know what I mean? Like, just cut it off. I don't know. Now we're all grossed out. Now, jaywalking is now legal in New York City. Now, you know, jaywalking is if you're walking out in the street and you're not in a crosswalk. Although I feel like everybody does that anyway in New York. I mean, maybe not so much if you're like right downtown in Midtown, but like on some of the other streets, I feel everybody already does it anyway. If there's no cars coming, then they just go. But if you're crossing against the light, you're not going to get ticketed now. Against the light or not in a crosswalk. There you go. Daniel Horowitz, next.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to run the werewolf because it's Halloween. It's the only time I get to use this Costco purchase. So let me have it. Let me have my time. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the bottom of this third hour, and Good to be with you. You can watch Coast to Coast. Obviously, you can listen Coast to Coast, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. One of the things that we're going to have to, we've been talking about polling. We've been talking about the state of the election, battleground states, the Senate, all kinds of stuff. But one of the things we haven't touched on that we're going to have to, and I think, you know, Republicans, conservatives are going to have to, the day after, the morning after the election, is the economy. Because no matter what happens, a disaster is looming. What are we going to do about it? Because one of the biggest criticisms that I had during the last administration was, and this is pre-COVID, there was a lot of spending. And my complaint was that Republicans are going to run up the debt. They're going to spend, spend, spend. And then Democrats are going to say, well, now we can't cut taxes because, you know, that's going to cost. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. One person who has been talking about this, senior editor over at The Blaze, Daniel Horowitz, one of the smartest people I know. Always good to see him. He has been talking about this. He's written quite a lot about this. And he's asking just that question. So we got to start thinking about what happens the day after the election, regardless of who wins. And if it's Trump, what do we, I mean, what are Republicans going to do about it? Daniel, it's good to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's been way too long. Great to be back with you. And I know that's my fault. That's my fault. But I'm glad you're really giving time to this because Tuesday is not that far away. I know our side likes to think about the election like it's some sort of time warp. Oh, mm-hmm. I'll think about that later. Well, in a few days, it's going to happen. And the bottom line is that we have our campaign rhetoric and Bidenflation, and I have no problem saddling him with it because he spent a lot of the money. He agrees with it. He agrees with the spending and supported it when Republicans did it. But what happens if Republicans take over? Really, in both scenarios, but let's talk about if they take over. We have never faced a situation like this before. Okay, typically, they were able to manipulate it with low interest rates where we could service the debt on the cheap, and it was just something on a spreadsheet. Yeah, one day we'll have to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that Republicans have failed to communicate to the public is that this is not a futuristic government spreadsheet issue. This is a you issue. This is your wallet issue, and it's a here and now issue. The $1.1 trillion in interest on the debt per year and the printing they need to do to service that and offer higher yields to buyers, especially now that foreign countries are shirking these opportunities to buy the debt. Well, guess what? That is the higher prices. Inflation is so hot that even with oil temporarily, or at least as of now, going down, which might portend a deep recession, inflation is terrible. Mm-hmm. So Republicans, their only plan is drill, baby, drill. Now, the problem with that is that inflation is high. The core inflation, it has nothing to do with that. It's the debt and the spending. And you can't drill, baby, drill and spend, baby, spend. True. So it was great when Biden was president. They have all these talking points. But we really do need an understanding of what they're going to do. Because, Dana, I'm just telling you, everything Republicans say they're going to do will actually only add to it.
And that's the terrifying thing. I mean, some of these proposals, talking with our good friend Daniel Horowitz, who also does the CR podcast. I mean, I haven't really seen any. I've basically all I've heard are like 30,000 foot kind of talking points about, yeah, we're going to spend less and we're going to cut spending. But it goes far, so much far further beyond that, as you're just illustrating. So like, OK, so say Trump wins on Tuesday. I know it's like really close in a number of battleground states. Ultimately, how does the what should the first thing that Republicans be thinking of? Because I feel like the economy, obviously the border, but the economy, we're not going to be able to do anything else if the economy is in shambles because they're not acting quickly enough.
No, people really don't understand this. We are facing stagflation. There's nowhere to go. And that's why housing is so limited and prices are still going up with rates high. We're suffering the worst of both because we're not in a natural economy. The amount of money we're spending, let me just give you one figure to encapsulate the problem. So since the pre-COVID baseline, our economy has grown $7.4 trillion. Okay. Well, we've accrued $12.6 trillion in debt. That means not only is our entire economy built upon federal spending now and adjacent spending propping up individual welfare and the corporate welfare, like the electric vehicle subsidies. But we're only getting 59 cents on the dollar of that investment. We're getting 59% of it. And now the money is gone. We need even more to service it. all that spending that the public got from the handouts is spent. Net savings are negative now. The credit card debt is record high. The rates are record high. The consumer's tapped out. There's nowhere to go. Now, look, even if Republicans had no prior history, and we all know that they kind of shared in the COVID spending, $7 trillion in spending, but let's say they never
existed. Too.
Yeah, but I don't even want to bring that up. Let's say they were created today. Okay, Dave, okay. Let's be nice. Let's say it was completely not their fault. But at the end of the day, we have a problem, and we need a solution, and they're promising more defense spending, more tax cuts, which in a vacuum we like, but we're not going to actualize the Laffer curve in the sort of economy we have anymore. That's just a reality. It's going to blow the deficit more. Okay, student loans, they're going to forgive them. I mean, that's a reality. Now they want to do car loans, which will just inflate, create a new asset bubble there. I mean, everything they're proposing will do that. So what I would say is, the first thing they need to do, and this is very important that your listeners hear this, Biden passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill and a Green New Deal that was scored for a few hundred billion, but Goldman Sachs says it's going to be in the trillions, which we know it will be. Here's the good news. A lot of that money has not yet been spent. They're trying to furiously get it out the door before Trump comes in. The first promise needs to be Trump needs to claw that back executively and not spend it. But this is Obamacare 2.0. We already know they're not going to do anything on the old, you know, Great right. Society programs right. and even the Obama era stuff. But at a minimum, they must fully repeal the Green New Deal.
Oh, they have to completely. But they have to. Is there? He's already shaking his hand because Daniel is where that's going to go. Do Republicans have the political will? And that's assuming we have the White House, we have the Senate, and we maintain the House, which it looks a little tougher for the House than it does the Senate right now. And as you know, power of the purse in the House. So I'm just going to say, if I'm shaking my magic eight ball, Daniel, I'm thinking not likely.
You know, you have the gas and oil lobbyists. See, they want the honey for everything.
Right.
They want low regulations, but they want everyone's subsidy. So that's how the Republican Party is. Low tax socialism. That's essentially we are.
I mean, I do get that. I completely do get that.
They have signaled, just like, remember Obamacare, repeal it. Well, repeal and replace. Well, actually, just the part, you know, the oblique parts of it, the funding mechanism of it, but not the regulatory structure. Same thing here. The core of the Green New Deal are the solar, wind, EV, right. and carbon capture subsidies. They want them. A number of Republicans have already written a letter to leadership demanding it. The lobbyists are demanding it. And I'm just going to tell you, even when Republicans were out of power, 80 House Republicans would vote against every tiny cut proposed in these like appropriation bills to the Department of Energy, EV grift or whatever. And then that's before you get to the Senate GOP, which makes the House GOP look like the founding fathers. So, I mean, honestly, we really need to have a family discussion about this because we got the party has not changed.
No, it hasn't. We're talking with our friend Daniel Horowitz, a senior editor over at The Blaze and host of the Sierra podcast. I wanted to ask you, kind of switch gears here with our time, because so much of this is, as you said, it's you know, it's really, you know, low tax socialism. In Florida, because Florida is always advertised as the blueprint. This is the blueprint for conservatism going forward, the blueprint for low taxation. And this is how you run the state and how you get turnout voters and register voters. They're dealing with two particular amendments. Amendment 4, and I've talked about the abortion stuff quite a bit. Amendment 3 is really wild to me that more people don't see it for what it is. And this is, it's being called the legalized marijuana thing, amendment, but it's not really, because DeSantis already did the medical marijuana, SB 182, et cetera. This is about creating a monopoly and allowing big government, again, low tax social, allowing a foreign entity write law for a state, which is weird to me that you would, that's allowable even, get it passed, and it protects them from liability, protects them from all of this kind of stuff. There are Republicans, Daniel, that support this. So when you say that we need to have a big family discussion, you're right, because they even support like creating, you know, little Pfizer fiefdoms like this with Trulieve, this pot company. out of Canada. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this.
I mean, the notion that you would stick marijuana in the Constitution as a fundamental constitutional right. People need to understand a constitutional right is a sledgehammer.
Mm. That's a great way to put it.
Rarely do you want to use that. I mean, wherever you stand on any issue, because there's a few things that are that categorical that, I mean, if you have a guy, you know, who's the equivalent of drunk driving with marijuana, when you create a fundamental right, it limits the ability criminally to punish that person. There's all sorts of problems. Obviously, you mentioned the monopoly, that there's a reason you have one company spending potentially $140 million on an amendment. To my knowledge, jeez, that is the most expensive ballot initiative in American history, but it's all from one company. Usually it's more diverse. So that tells you everything you need to know. And look, we know that the chemical behind it is a lot more potent than what our parents, you know, age people in the 60s maybe smoked
the
in
old
college.
Hippies.
It's not the same thing. So when you absolve that company of liability at a time that we've all had this reawakening and recognition that there's a problem with the vaccine liability shield, in my view, that violates the spirit of the federal Seventh Amendment, absolving them of any, you know, chance to recover injury through a jury trial. That's a big, big problem. And look, we've had these theoretical debates. Oh, well, what would happen if we just legalize it? It will take away the problems. The criminality and the vagrancy has gotten worse in every single state that has done this. The reality is you can't half-ass libertarianism. If I were starting a civilization in 1789, would I initiate a regulation on it? No. But with the criminal justice system we have, and with the education system we have, and with the endless drug programs we have, see, I used to meet people and say, hey, just let them overdose, they'll die, and then everyone else will learn and the market will sort that out. The problem is we have endless billions of dollars we're spending on the subsidy side and on the treatment side. You can't have that, but then denude the law enforcement side. You get Colorado, you get California. And actually, in California, it is on the ballot this year to repeal Prop 47, limited some of the penalties. We'll see what happens there.
That's a great point that you make, because this isn't a decision that's made in a vacuum. You have all of these other variables that affect this that make it to where it's way more complicated than just saying, well, let's go one way or the other.
Exactly.
We're short on time now, but Dino, I would love to have you back, especially after the election. You got to come back after the election next week. We'll see what happens, but you know, we'll go from there. We'll all watch Tuesday and see what happens. But it's so good to see you, Daniel Horowitz, as always. And you can find him. I want to make sure I have you on X, too. I retweeted you, so you're on X. Make sure you go find him on X as well. Good to see you, my friend.
Great to see you. Looking forward to coming back.
Yes, sir.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
That snake's nose. She's still holding the ruby in her other hand. Maker's panties. I was so proud.
Oh,
They're still holding it. Sorry.
What are you doing?
Pulling a barv.
Oh, okay. A barv?
Tradition in the Lords of Fortune. From one of our old members, barv. Good guy, but like most of us, his plans went sideways a lot. Bad blood among your crews, not good for morale, but there's not always time for big, drawn-out apologies. So, when one of us screws up and we know we've screwed up, we do a quick 10 to put it right. Pulling a barv.
This is the most famous cutscene ever. It's a game cutscene.
I'm glad the Lords of Fortune have Tarsh's back.
Oh, Tarsh isn't the first non-binary member of the Lords.
Really? Oh my gosh.
It was a little before your time, but Horlicks was one of ours.
Huh.
Bastard looked better than I did in a dress or pants. And out of them, too.
I mean, they still keep going. They're still going. Like, they got to kiss the ass of, like, the, you know,
any reason you can't just apologize?
Trans Tifa. They could have not done any of it. This is what's so this is a horrible game that no one's ever going to play. And it's, what is this? This is the Veil Guard. Dragon Age, the Veil Guard. I hope all these characters get eaten by dragons savagely. I hope all the characters just bitten in half by dragons. I hope that's what happens. Just chompity chomp chomp. I hope the dragon moodangs all of them. Bites them like Moodang wants to bite her keeper's knees. That's what I hope happens. this is so stupid. Like, with this game, you can actually, like, choose a character, make your character have mastectomy, like, elective mastectomy scars, which I think diminishes and mocks what survivors go through. This is what's happening with gaming. They are trying to push this DEI trans Tifa nonsense so hard in gaming. They're going to try to ruin the last refuge for people who want to be left alone. We'll have more on this coming up. Today in Stupidity, Kane, although that could suffice.
Yeah, well, it's former President Bill Clinton. Now, we've talked about this before. Is Biden and Clinton, are they just like, you know, Trump supporters by saying stuff like this? But anyway, listen to what Bill Clinton had to say.
I don't think it's right to say that people have to vote for Donald Trump because the economy is better there.
What? So he's admitting the economy was better under Trump, and you shouldn't vote just because of his better economy.
Yeah, there you go.
So there it is. He's stumping for Trump, I guess.
Exactly.
I don't get it. But exactly. That's just another old
elections days away. Days away, guys. That does it for us today. Make sure you find us over on Facebook and YouTube, Rumble, Substack, Chapter and Verse, and X. I hope you have a great night. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.